God doesn't tempt. He'll test in order to shore up some weak points. The devil will come to tempt in order to destroy. It's sort of like he goes to the same bookshelf and he twists it, bang, and he breaks it. Oh, it's no good. Look, junk that thing. His goal was to destroy it, so he tests it unto destruction. God doesn't tempt you. He'll test you in order to find out where the weak points are so that he can shore you up.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope, coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu, pastored by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Do you ever wonder if miracles still happen today? Sometimes when our prayers go unanswered, we begin to wonder if God is really there at all. Does he listen and respond? Well, Gideon is listed in Hebrews 11, the great hall of faith, and yet he had doubts. He had doubts about God, and he had doubts about himself, so much so that he actually put God to a test. Now here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Gideon, When Only a Miracle Will Do.
Well, let's turn in our notes, if you would, with me. We're going to continue in our series called Heroes of Legendary Faith. Now, we're going to hear from Hebrews chapter 11 about when life overwhelms you, when your faith seems to come up short, when there's a breakdown in faith. Any of you have a breakdown in faith sometimes? Yeah, you can be around for a long time, but there's a breakdown in faith. Doesn't matter if you're just, you know, you can be in church for years and you can have breakdowns in faith. I had it the other day. I was driving down the street and in my lane, they had put some pylons out there because they were working on a water thing over there. So you have to merge into the lane. There's plenty of room. So I put on my blinker, blink, blink, blink. And this guy, there's plenty of room. And when he sees me pulling over, they speed up. You notice that? I hope none of you do that. I know you don't. No, other people do. But this guy speeds up just so I can't change lanes. And he's going to run me into this barricade. So I just keep turning, you know, and I go in. And he beeps his horn and starts yelling at me. And I'm thinking, you idiots. And so when he's right on my bumper, so I pull over after the pylon situation there. And he comes up to me and I just quietly roll down my window and he's yelling at me and I turn to him and I said, you slow down. Said, oh, okay. And he keeps going and I tail him. Man, I wanted to get out and like pray for him. It was on my heart. To catch up with him and invite him to church. There's, you know, we all have breakdowns in faith, don't we? But you know, when it was done, I thought, oh, Lord, forgive me. You know, help me to kind of build my faith when it comes to those times. And Gideon is a good friend of mine because he's kind of like us. He didn't start off with a strong faith, although God used him to do a grand thing. He didn't start off strong. He actually started off kind of lame. And here in Judges chapter 6, we have his story unfolded. Now, let me give you some context of what was happening. It's in Judges chapter 6, starting at verse 1. It says this, then the sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. So what happened? The Lord gave them into the hands of Midian for 7 years. Now, because they disobeyed God, that's the reason, there are bad leaders or the surrounding enemies have a heyday with them for how long? 7 years of, it's like a 7-year series of unfortunate events, like Lemony Snicket. And the power of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of Midian, the sons of Israel made for themselves dens in the mountains and caves, which means when they would attack, they had these runaway points and they would hide in these caves. Because you see, what happened was when Israel had sown grain, the Midianites would come up with the Amalekites and they'd go against them. They'd camp and destroy the earth as far as Gaza and they'd leave no sustenance behind. They'd come up with their livestock and their tents. They were like locusts in number, camels innumerable. They'd devastate the land. So Israel was brought very low because of Midian. And the sons of Israel cried to the Lord. And it came about that when the sons of Israel cried to the Lord, that God heard them and spoke to them. Now, you see what's happening is Israel was known to be great farmers. And so they would take the desert and turn it into crops of grain like barley. that here's what the Midianites would do. They're very cunning. They would wade in the hills and they would see the crops growing. And when they'd check it through their binoculars and they would see them winnowing the grain, they'd say, time to go. And they would rush down like locusts. And people would drop their grain bags and run into the dens in the hills and hide. And guess what Midian would do? They'd just take their grain and steal all of the stuff that they had sown, and off they would go. And Israel would come back and say, oh no, another famine for another year. The food that was designed for the Israelites were stolen by the Midianites. And they would cry to God, God, it's been 7 years this has been happening. How do we get rid of these Midianites? What do we do? Well, Gideon starts off with a question, and you'll see God's answer, then Gideon's question. Read with me the question that Gideon asks, and it's the same questions that's still asked today. Let's read it. Go. Then Gideon said to him, hey, if the Lord is with us, why then has all of this happened to us? And by the way, where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. Yeah, and we still ask that question today, don't we? Wait, where are all the miracles that the Bible talks about? Come on. Hey, has God abandoned us or something? How come bad things happen to good people? And we still ask those questions today. It's not a new question. Gideon asked the same question. But look at what verse it was. It was verse what? 13, right? Now, I want you to see that just three verses before, in verse 10, God answered it already. Let's read God's answer before Gideon had even asked. Let's read it. Go. I delivered you from the hands of the Egyptians and from the hands of all your oppressors and gave you in this land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God, but you have not obeyed me. That was in verse 9 and 10. Verse 13, Gideon asks the question, how come all of this is happening? It's like God just spoke this. And I looked at that and I thought, what? God just said, here's the problem and this is why it's happening. Three verses later, he says, how come all of this is happening? It's like the Lord says, whoa, did you miss class or something, Gideon? I was just talking about this. And I thought, Gideon, come on, where's your head? The Lord just spoke something and you're not listening to him. What's going on? And I listen to his question and I just laugh and I think, we're just the same way. God's already laid out stuff for us and said, now obey it. And we said, well, how come, you know, we don't obey it. We said, how come this is happening? The Lord said, yeah, I just told you. You can tell a lot about people by the way they respond to questions, you know, the questions and responses to them. And I got this. You got to hear. This is from a Portuguese high school. This is so good. This is a Portuguese high school final exam and given by a Portuguese teacher. So you know you're in trouble already. And these kids were all going to be expelled, but this Portuguese teacher said, let me give them the test and I'll help them pass. So the principal said, you're going to give them the test and they're going to pass. That's right. That's right. So the principal says, okay. Well, this Portuguese teacher knew that the kids couldn't read too well, so he had to give them verbal questions. So the first one had to be geography. So he said, all right. He said, I'm going to give each of you one question and I'm going to call out your name. And if you answer them right, then I give you one pass. Okay. First of all, Mano, this is from Australia. What do you call a boomerang that doesn't work? Mano says, one stick. That's right. You pass, brother. You pass. I knew you were smart. And then, okay, Victor, this one is from Alaska. What do Eskimos get from sitting on ice too long? Victor said, Polaroids. That's right, Polaroids. Yeah, you get them. Oh, you guys, brilliant, brilliant. Okay, Joaquin, you're next. What do you call cheese that's not yours? Nacho cheese? That's right. That bugger, he's smart. Okay, here's one question for oceanography. All right, Vinny. All right, what kind of coffee was served on the Titanic? Vinny said, Sanka. That's right, that bugger, Sanka. That's right. Man, you guys so brilliant. I'm going to put you down in the Genesis Book of Records. You guys so Genesis. Okay, all right. Bunch of you, all Genesis. Okay. And Vinny, for extra point, because you haven't attended any class, this is for extra credit. All right. What lies at the bottom of the ocean and twitches? He said, a nervous wreck. That's right. You win. You get them. You pass. All right, we're going to talk about sports. Santiago, if athletes get athlete's foot, what do astronauts get? Santiago said, mistletoe. That's right. You get them. And here's the best one. Mary. Mary, this one is for you. This is also a geography question. This is from Africa. What is a zebra? Mary. 25 sizes bigger than an A-bra. That's right. That's right. You pass. Some of the guys are saying, what is A-bra? That's pigeon, not A-bra. You better help them, women. You better help them. I was looking at these questions and I thought, you know, Gideon's question wasn't that much better. God just told him, and he asked the same thing. So he says, God, how do we start the miracles in motion? We got to get rid of the Midianites. They're stealing the food that you designed for us to have. Where do we begin? And would you write down, you know where God starts? Sometimes we're in church and we hear a good message and we say, whew, that's so good for my wife. I wish my husband were here. Oh, my kids need to hear this goodness. Nah, but you know where God starts? Would you write number one? God always begins with me. With me. Oh, we would like other people to hear it. But God is saying, no, I'm going to start with you. You're going to be a part of the miracle. Ah, my wife needs a change. My family needs a change. My boss needs a change. Well, we're going to start by changing you first. Because you see, if it doesn't start with you, it's not going to happen. Because sometimes we think faith is, oh, God, change my boss. And all of a sudden, whoo, vaporizes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, and we think that's the kind of faith that gets you into Hebrews 11. You're going to find out that the kind of faith that God's talking about is very, very applicable in every day. And every single one of us can be a hero of legendary faith. Because God wants to move us from the church into life, from this place into our home. And so he says, Gideon, first of all, I'm not going to deal with the Midianites. I'm going to use you to deal with the Midianites. And I'm going to work through you. I'm going to start with you. In fact, let's read the scripture, Judges 6. Go. The Lord looked at him and said, go and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? You. Okay, Gideon says, you want to work through me? All right. I'm going to be part of the answer? Okay. And without me, it won't happen? Okay, all right. Where do I start? Where do I start? Here's where God starts. We're going to read the next scripture and you'll see. Go. Now on the same night, the Lord said to him, pull down the altar of Baal, which belongs to your father, and cut down the Asherah that is beside it. Now, wait a minute. Here's your first assignment. Go home, because in your father's house, where you guys are, there's an altar to Baal. Now, Baal was a fertility god. Because the Midianites were stealing their crops, they actually built an altar to a fertility god in their house. 7 years now. And then next to it was an Asherah. You know what an Asherah is? Asherah was a female deity. That's how that's when it began to promote temple prostitution. It made immorality and sexual lasciviousness something that was like, no big deal. It's okay. And he had both of those in his house. And I thought, I wonder how many times Gideon went home and passed by that altar. Now, these are God-fearing people. These are Israelites. But they would walk past these and think, oh, I should take, that's all right. And how many times did God say, take care of that, take care of that, deal with that? After a while, it's like, no big deal. Just leave it. You know what God said to Gideon? You know where we're going to start? Start not with new truths. Start with you obeying old truths. What I've already told you about. For years, those things have been in your house. And you haven't dealt with them. You know what that is? That's where the Midianites begin. There's going to be things in your life and mine that God has spoken to us for years. Maybe things that we've been thinking about. Places that we've been frequenting that every time I go there, I think I shouldn't be here. Whatever. And the Lord says, how many times have I already spoken to you about that? Well, it's not a new truth. Because sometimes we're looking for new truths. And God says, you know what? I'm going to give you an encouragement to obey old truths. Because that's where it begins. Because otherwise, if you have these things still stuck in your life and in your heart, maybe thoughts that I think, or places or locations on the internet that I've been frequenting that has images that start to stick in my mind, God is saying, you need to just safeguard yourself from all of those. But we kind of keep them around. And you know what they're doing? They're eating up the food of your soul. Because these are things that I have tolerated in my life. And it just becomes, and yet I'm looking for bigger truths and saying, God, where are all the miracles? How come you're not doing stuff new? And the Lord says, I will after you obey the stuff old. What I've already spoken to you about. Why are you asking me new questions? I already spoke to you about these. And often we kind of just put these aside and we wonder why miracles are happening. How come the food that's supposed to belong to my soul is getting eaten up? You can go to church for 5, 10, or 15 years and you hear tons of messages, tons of truth. But if I've got Midianites or things that God has already spoken to me about, but I still have not done anything about them, you'll go to church and the food that belongs to your soul will be stolen and eaten up. And it will not nourish you. And you'll go away from church after 10 years and still there's a hunger on the inside. There's an emptiness. And we'll blame the preacher. We'll blame the church. We'll blame all kinds of stuff. But really, God is saying, we're going to work on some Midianites in your life because they've been stealing your food. There's some relationships that are broken that God's spoken to you for years about. We still haven't done anything about it. We have this altar that says, it's okay. No big deal. You don't have to do what God speaks to your conscience about. No, God is saying, because they'll steal the food of your soul. And I can speak to you wonderful things, but it won't nourish you. So the first thing, Gideon, I want you to go home and take care of that, because it's always going to begin with you. Don't normalize it. You see, God is saying, I'm going to speak to you and I want to do the miracles and I want to work in you. But first of all, your faith cannot just be a Sunday only faith where it's nice in here and we praise God with our faith and we speak about faith and we pray about faith and we journal about faith. But faith is going to really be true or false when we leave these doors. So God is saying, I'm going to start with you. We're going to go home and take care of some things I've already spoken to you about. You got to mark my words on this. We will be tested. We will be tested. Our faith has to be tested. Otherwise, we can praise, we can talk about it, we can journal on it. But until it's tested, it will not endure. Let's read what 1 Peter says. Go. Even gold, which can be destroyed, is tested by fire. And so your faith, which is more precious than gold, must also be tested. Why? So that it may endure. Yeah. God's going to test our faith. Oh, no, not tempt. Test. In order to see where, what part of our hearts need to be shored up. You see, the word to test, sort of like a carpenter that builds a bookshelf. Before he puts a weight of books on it, he's going to test it. And so he puts weight on it. He kind of turns it a little bit, twists it. But he's testing it. It's a Greek word, dokimon, which means to document its confidence, its surety. It needs to be strong enough to handle what it's going to be facing in weight. And so he tests it. And if it moves a little too much, he knows he needs to put a brace here, a little bit more glue there. But his goal is to make sure that it's tested so that it may endure. Now, he doesn't tempt. The Bible talks about the devil tempting you. And that's a different word, periazo in the Greek, which means it is putting weight on something with a goal to destroy it. God doesn't tempt. He'll test in order to shore up some weak points. The devil will come to tempt in order to destroy. It's sort of like he goes to the same bookshelf and he twists it and he says, who built this? Well, you think it's strong, huh? Bang, and he breaks it. Oh, it's no good. Look, junk that thing. See, what he did was his goal was to destroy it. So he tests it unto destruction. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to what? Destroy. And that's what he wants to do. God doesn't tempt you. He'll test you in order to find out where the weak points are so that he can shore you up. and so that your faith will endure. Your faith will not be good enough until it's tested. So mark my words, God will test us. He'll take us through. Why? Well, same like Gideon. Gideon said, okay, God, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to take care of those Midianites. Recruit some soldiers. Okay. Now, he must have been a good recruiter because he recruited 32,000. These guys come up and they're ready to go. And he's, okay, God, we're ready. Now, just bless us because we're going to go out there and wipe out the Midianites. Woo-hoo! God said to him, too many. Well, what do you mean too many? God, bless us. No, too many. No, God, we're going to, no, too many. Huh? You asked me to do this. Now we're going to go. Now we're going to pray for your blessing and victory. Nah, too many. Too many. I want you to ask any of the people that are afraid or trembling, tell them go home. Okay, anybody fearful or trembling, go home. 22,000 go home. I could just see Gideon. Whoa, I was just joking. Come back. 22,000 leave. And he's standing there saying, oh man, come on, God. You got to bless us. There's going to be a question you and I have to answer. And write it in the next bullet there. Sooner or later, we're going to have to answer this one question. Will I use God or serve him? Am I going to use him or serve him? It's going to be a major question you're going to have to ask. Because if I use God, everything that I do, he has to reward. And so basically he becomes a genie in the lamp that I call Christ, but really it's just I'm using God. In fact, let's read what God says to him. Go. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Yeah, he said, you see, either if you use me for your purposes, it'll bring pride into your life. If you serve me, that's a big difference. Are you going to use me or serve me? 10,000 left. He said, okay. The Lord says, no, still too many. No way. Yes way. What now? Have them go drink. Drink water at the creek. And the ones that put their face in the water to drink, send them home. The ones that pick up water with their hands, keep their eyes to the hills, you keep them only. Okay, everybody go drink water. They go drink water. 9,700 put their faces in the water. Oh no, you dumb people. Oh no, they gotta go. They gotta go. Oh no. Go home, dogs. Go home. 300 left. Okay, Gideon, oh God, we're gonna die. But he had to decide sooner or later, am I gonna use God or am I gonna serve him even if I die? You see, that's the kind of faith we have to come to because we're used to using God. That's kind of how it is. Okay, now you're there, huh? Yeah. We'll probably be road rash in a little bit. Okay. All right. Now, you can run. You can bail out. You can go back to the cave, can't you? Uh-huh. What are you going to do? Because you can. You can keep living the way you want to. You know what God does? One of the ways he tests us, would you write in number 2? He offers us choices. Offers us choices. You can make a choice. Yeah, you can go back and live the way it has been. Or you can deal with the Midianites who've been stealing your food. And then we're going to deal with some other things here and change you. You can keep going back to the dens, but I'm going to give you a choice. You know why? Because if God said, if you don't do what I tell you, I nail you. Well, then we'll do what God says. But if he says, you choose. You choose. You know what that does? It tests my heart. It tests my heart. See, God doesn't want to necessarily just test my competence. He wants to test my heart.
You have just heard a message entitled Gideon, When Only a Miracle Will Do, by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.